the Electric Eels of Parramatta.
Oh, the dummy by Kenny. He's going to go up the corner. Look at Ferguson coming across the gutter. And it's Kenny with a flicking bounce. Scores a try in the corner. Sterling looking for a hat-trick. Can he get there? It's a hat-trick for Sterling.
The Eels have won it. Mr. Perpetual Motion and Mr. Nice Guy, Michael Cronin, are held aloft. The siren has sounded and Parramatta has taken out their third premiership in a row. The Eels of Parramatta still rule supreme over the rugby league scene here in Sydney.
Thank you so much for joining us here on the Parramatta podcast. The acronym is PMP. But given the recent performance of the Eels, it could be FFS because, for fuck's sake, I'm not sure what's going on. Now, there's going to be a strong language warning with this episode because obviously we have a lot to talk about. I am Barry, joined always by Bernie and Jono. I'll start with you, Jono. How are you this week, mate?
I'm good, boys. I'm back from my away trip and it's good to see your faces again.
You were off pig hunting, weren't you, mate? What were you doing? You're like a shooting goose or something? I don't know.
I was shooting anything that moved that wasn't a human being. Yeah. No, it was good times.
Yeah. You're not very politically correct, are you, man? You're not allowed to go hunt these days. You know, yeah.
Pest control. Pest control.
You were hunting varmint.
I was.
Nice one.
Hey, before we get to the train wreck that was the Bunnies match, Bernie, you and I have something to talk about with Jono, which, of course, was the last Origin game.
Oh, yeah. We didn't quite get to that, did we?
No. Because
did you happen to catch that game, Jono?
I turned ABC radio on in the still blackness of the wilderness, and the score was 30-12 to New South Wales, and I hastily turned ABC radio back off and went to the campfire and poured myself another drink of alcohol and sat there and gazed at the stars.
Yeah, well, you got game three up there, mate. So it's still, the Blues are still up against it. You're still looking pretty from where we're sitting, but at least it's not a dead rubber.
Yeah, absolutely.
Exactly.
Yeah. Mm. But I went to Suncorp last year and, mate, the games in Queensland don't mean anything anymore, I reckon. So I think we're up for a pretty even contest. So, yeah, the home field advantage, I don't think it's going to be that much of a factor.
Yeah, I don't think it has been as much lately, especially with Queensland rolling the Blues in game one, which, you know, was, it's normally pretty much a given, like, you know, that your team's going to perform 10, 20% better at their home field, but it just doesn't seem to translate as much these days, does it? But maybe you get a 1 or 2%. You definitely don't get the rubber, the green with the refs. The refs don't seem to be playing favourites for the home team. Mm. They definitely seem to be playing favourites for whoever they're going for. But
I think Queensland can take out that, you know, it was tight at halftime. They just sort of need to pinpoint where it went wrong in the second half besides the sin binning. And I say that I haven't watched a single, and I will refuse to watch a single second of the game, highlights or otherwise, just based on the third party knowledge that I know that it was tied at halftime and then we got a sin bin or something and steamrolled us.
If you continually hold players down within their own 10 metres, you're going to go to the bin. You can't just lie over the top of them and go, oh, sorry, sir, I didn't realise I was lying on him for 5 minutes.
Yeah.
Off to the bin you go, you chucklehead.
Yeah, and I would also like to point out that the Blues very much Parramatted that 10 minutes too, because we just had set of six after set of six after set of six on their line, and it wasn't until the dying minutes of that 10-minute send-off that we actually did something with it. So, yeah, you can make a big deal out of being down a man, but it's not like we scored 3 tries in that time. We were very lucky to score 1.
I put that game down to, quite honestly, Nathan Cleary turned up, and he didn't turn up for the first game. Now, once again, you know, you can translate this to Parramatta game against the Rabbitohs with the forwards, because I'm not sure the forwards gave Cleary a good run at the game in game one. Game two, everyone fired. Everything was brilliant. Cleary got his teeth stuck in and So it's going to be curious. Game three. It's going to be. It should be a nice close contest, I think.
I don't think Cleary didn't turn up in game one. I really think that Billy Slater actually had some good strategies planned out. And I know I'm speculating here, but like backward mapping it, his big shakeup for game two, I think really disrupted Slater's knowledge of the first game's team and how they play. And I really think that Cleary got his head around, okay, they're on me really quick. Now I need to make sort of faster decisions. And, you know, he, it's like Troy said last week, he Cleary doesn't have two bad games in a row. So he essentially read them and figured out the way to work through it. So yeah, I don't think he didn't turn up. I just think they handled him really well in game one. Credit to Queensland.
Honestly, haven't seen a second of the game. So
and you're not going to, are you? You're just going to let it just go through to the keeper, and rightfully so. But to be fair, there's not really much point watching game two because game three is going to be completely different. It's not like you can watch game two and go, you know, as a viewer, you know, Queenslander, you're not going to sit and go, I'm going to put myself through that just for some sort of knowledge going into game three. Like game three is going to be completely different. We're going to see how good Billy Slater is, see if he's able to. Do you reckon he's going to make changes? Do you reckon he's going to change the Queensland team?
I think there's a couple of injuries. I think Kafusi's out and Ruben Cotter's out. So we've got...
He was out of game two anyway, so...
Yeah. So we're already missing a couple of troops, and I don't know what...
Oh, you're missing a couple of troops, are you? Yeah, we've got like Tommy Turbo, Latrell Mitchell...
Ryan Pappenhausen.
Ryan Pappenhausen sitting on the bloody sideline, and you're missing a couple... You're missing Ruben Cotter, are you?
Well, Ruben Cotter was a beast in game one, so yeah I'm going to count him as a...
Yeah, because we didn't have Latrell there. Latrell would have flattened him in 2 seconds.
Yeah. Uh-huh.
The Parramatta's podcast. Because fuck Melbourne.
I do want to mention Latrell, actually, because he obviously played well against us, but he didn't look 100%. You know, he's been out for a while. He didn't look really fit. And at the end of the game, he ruled himself out of the Origin game. Now, there's a few points on that. He said that he didn't want to take someone else's spot who he thought might deserve it more. He didn't want to kick Matt Burton out of the team, basically, I think is what he was saying. Who did have a brilliant Origin game. But my understanding is if you are an NRL player, you have to put your hand up to be eligible for representative games. I didn't know you're allowed to sit them out. Now, I'm pretty sure. I know that was the rule because it was quite contentious when some players wanted to sit out. Now, all of a sudden, Latrell says he wants to sit out. I thought that they had to.
How could they enforce that if we're in a day and age where having signed a legally binding contract means nothing?
Yeah. Well, Jamie Lyons was in all sorts of shit when, you know, this is back a while, but he said that he never wanted to play Origin again. And he was a dominant center in regular rounds for Manly. Once played for Parramatta, but we won't talk about that. But yeah, so I don't know. I would still like Latrell to play just because he's a big body, he's experienced. He's just a big game player. And
yeah,
I just don't know. I liked what Cooper Cronk was saying at the end, and Cooper Cronk said he would come out of retirement if it meant that he could play in a decider for State of Origin. Mm. You know, like, so he doesn't understand why Latrell would just outright say, "Oh no, it's fine. I don't really care." And if he doesn't care, then fuck him. He can sit on the bench and not even sit on the bench. He can sit at home and watch.
Did he rule himself out, or was he just sending a message to Brad Fittler saying, "I'm not ready"?
Well, I think that it could have been 50-50, really. I think he was just saying within himself. At the end of the game, he was exhausted. Now, he played well against us. He wasn't like, you know, he wasn't the game winner for Souths, I think. I think we were the game loser. Mm. I don't think Souths did anything special apart from turn up with a wet weather game plan of kicking to the corners, keeping us down. And we were doing flick passes and all kinds of shit. Geez, we're a frustrating team to watch at times. Like, it's... you know, we're a better team than them, and all we had to do once again was hold the ball and play out our sets. And now I'm going to be a little bit controversial this week because I'm slightly concerned with Mitch Moses at the moment. Now I think he just goes a little bit crazy at times. He doesn't seem to have control of the game. Like, he just seems to, it's not even go missing. He tries. It's almost like he tries too hard. I really wish that we had like a Jerome Hughes in our team who could just guide us around the team. Now, we all saw Cooper Cronk in the grand final basically not touch the ball and just point and tell everyone where to run. And he's ended up winning that grand final with having their halfback just running around pointing, which is insane. But it just goes to show how potent a player can be just by dominating the gameplay and saying, this is what we're doing, boys. You hit up. I'm going to kick to the corner. You guys keep them down there. I mean, wet weather football.
Can I extend upon that even and talk about Adam Reynolds for the Broncos and the impact that he has when he's not even on the field?
Yeah.
So doesn't that show that within our team and within our coaching staff, there's no plan, there's no clue, there's no inspiration, there's no guidance, and really there's no structure. So as you say, like Cooper Cronk didn't touch the ball once, but we just don't have anyone of that caliber. That's the thing.
No, and it makes me wonder whether Dylan Brown is that character, because he's so potent. He's got his try assists, his leading try assists at the moment. He had a weakness in defense. He worked so hard to pick it up. He's now one of our best defenders, I believe. His goal kicking was atrocious. I know, Barry, you're still not a fan of his goal kicking, but it's so much better than where it was. He works and works hard, but when he's put on the spot, like seeing him pass the ball into the back of the Iceman's head a couple of weeks ago, it had sent shivers down my spine, because that was a nervous pass. That was a shit, you take it. You know, it was like a hot potato or something. And that scares me. And I know that he's got that in his game. I just think he needs someone standing next to him. Till Bags is too young and too inexperienced at the moment to be that person to grab the game and just lead him around. And unfortunately, Gutho's the same. Gutho's kind of a party boy. He's kind of a bit, you know, he's flippant. He's a bit crazy. Brilliant player, can do incredible things. But if we had a guy out there, and I don't think Junior Paulo's that guy either. I don't know if they made him captain trying to get him to guide the team. I don't think we have that player in our team. And we're just missing something. And I keep going back to BA with his game plan, but maybe he does have a game plan. Maybe it's not being executed. I mean, his bench rotation once again, Tom Opacek comes on for 2 minutes. Fucking insane. Like, you know, wet weather football, you want big forwards out there. Something's wrong.
Can I just jump in and then we'll go to Jono? But is there maybe some brilliance, and I'm reaching here, but of Josh Hodgson being signed, that an old head, maybe he has got that ability to direct the team. So maybe there is some logic behind signing an older player who is injured. I don't know.
Yeah, I'm not sure, boys. The biggest problem on Saturday night was, and I think Bernie said it in the group chat, For the halves to execute a game plan, the forwards need to create space. And we were camped on our try line for 99% of that game. Every time we got our hands on the ball, it was coming out of our own 10 metres. And despite the fact that I think Junior Paulo and Regan Campbell-Gillard are the two best front rowers in the competition, for some reason, we just weren't making metres. You know, and I don't know if that's lack of direction, if Mitch Moses wasn't pointing out gaps, or the boys were a little bit tentative in wet weather football. And, you know, we thrive on second phase play and offloads, and that was put away. I think we tried an offload once in our first set and dropped it, or one of our opening sets, and just plain dropped the ball and went away from it and just realized, well, you know, the keystone to our game plan is out the window, because we can't risk it in the wet. And by that stage, we were chasing points anyway.
Yeah, I think that Barry raised a good point with signing Josh. Now, the problem is keeping him on the field. And if we could keep him on the field, I'd love to have him there. Reed's gone. Now, Reed's acting a bit crazy too. He's got...
Now, are you referring to the Reed who played on Saturday night, according to the commentators, the Reed Mahoney? That Reed?
Mahoney. Yeah. That Reed. Reed Mahoney. He... he's not playing as well as he did last year up until his injury. I'm starting to wonder if his head is leaving the team.
Yeah, I think there's a few of that. I think there's a few, and I really do think we're facing that issue now, that people are starting to look at 2023 and preserving their bodies and their next club. And That's why I think part of the reason we're in a rut, but please go on.
So I think Josh would be really good if we can keep him on the field. I mean, if you look at the Cowboys with Chad Townsend, he's such a level-headed player, Chad. Like, he can guide those young forwards around, and that's what he's doing there, and that's why they're being successful. I think that Chad up there, Adam Reynolds at the Broncos, I mean, he's just guiding the team around. We just need that player, and Josh might be that player for us if we can keep him on the field, and he's a fantastic hooker. So I'm hopeful for next year with him there, but I don't know if we've got much depth. I'd prefer to keep Reed and to nurture him. He's just a baby. Let's not forget. I think he's 22 years old or something. You know, he's just a young kid, Reed. He hasn't got the experience. He's still very much learning the game. Dillbags, same. I think he's 21, isn't he? Dillbags, like, they're just kids. Gutho's a bit older. Mitch a bit older. We really need Mitch to be guiding the team around. It's just not part of his natural game. Oh, I know who. Jake Arthur, once he... now, hear me out. Jake Arthur. Now, he copped a whole heap of shit because he pushed Dillbags out into the centres, and that was ridiculous.
Mm-hmm.
Jake Arthur's only 19 years old, and he's a very level-headed player. He's very level-headed. Once he increases his skill base... He might actually, next year, it might be interesting to see him in the team a bit more. I can't believe I'm saying that, but we're just missing something. Like, I honestly think, like, just watching Murata, he seems to be a little bit off. He's coming off injury, but is he thinking about going to Auckland now? You know, I'm just wondering if all the players who are leaving us are... It's very easy to, you know what it's like when you hand in your resignation at a job and you turn up to work? You're just like, half the time they say, look, just fuck off. Like, you might as well just go. It's like, oh, no, I'm giving my 4 weeks notice. It's like, look, just fuck off. You're just going to come in here and, you know, be dead weight and probably cause more trouble than it's worth, you know, get up to no good, basically. I don't know. And I saw, I don't know the player, but I saw that the Dolphins signed one of the Panthers youngsters.
Mm-hmm.
And the first thing that Ivan Cleary did was bench him and said, you're not in the team anymore. I've got no, you know, what's the point? I don't need you.
Mm.
And it was, you know, a bit of a story because he's a youngster, but it's like, well, I'm not going to blood him for the Dolphins and I don't need him. So
yeah,
I don't know. I'd like to see Wiramu Greg in the team rather than Tom Opacek on the bench. I mean, I think we need a big body. We need to blood the guys who are going to be there next year. Wiramu Greg is going to be a big player. I'm really happy to see Kai Rodwell get some minutes. He only got the minutes, I think, because Junior got hurt, but it was good to see him get the minutes. So I'm happy that some of the youngsters are coming through, but I think we need to concentrate more now on the future rather than this year. And it sounds really piss poor of me, but I'm borderline, you know, put a line through this year because we cannot back it up. We cannot win four games in a row. It just seems to be, and unless some miraculous miracle happens at the end of the year and we just go bang, 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 because it's like big game, big game, big game. But, you know, it's frustrating to watch.
Yeah, it is. I'm wondering if this comes back to Brad Arthur yet again, because his post-match press conference after the game was like, oh, well, it wasn't an effort problem. I'm like, well, it was a discipline problem, you know.
Yep.
You guys are constantly coming off the 10-meter line. You didn't adapt a game plan. You didn't. Your bench rotation's crap. Why is Tom Opacek on the bench?
I have no idea. You know,
as a center, you don't put a center on the bench.
No, there's no impact. He's not a utility, and he's not a forward. So it's like, why the hell do you put him in there, and then only play him for 2 minutes? What the hell does that mean? Like, you know.
It's as illogical as the Jake Arthur thing, but at least Tom Opacek won't cop as much flack for it.
No. Well, Tom's now signed overseas as well, so he's going as well.
Yeah.
Why? I would have had Nathan Brown in the team this week. I don't know why he's had a bloody... I don't know why he's been struck from the team. I know his form hasn't been great, but I'd rather him on the bench come on for 2 minutes than Tom Opacek come on for 2 minutes. I mean, if you're only going to play someone for 2 minutes, I'd rather it be Nathan Brown come on. Or Bryce Cartwright. Where the hell is Bryce Cartwright? We're not even talking about him anymore. Like,
who?
That's an impact. Exactly. He's an impact player. That flick pass that he did was insane. He has the next level in his game that he can get us points.
Bryce Cartwright has a rib injury, so he's gone for 2 weeks. I read that today. Right. Nathan Brown is rumored to be back in the team this week, despite the fact that the club told him he's dropped and he's happy and is free to look elsewhere.
Yeah.
So, and do we have any background on that? It seemed really sudden. Like, he wasn't in career best form, but 1-17, none of these boys this year have been at career best level for more than 1 or 2 weeks at a time.
Mm.
Yeah.
So it'll be good. I want to see Nathan Brown back in the squad as early as possible and firing again. And maybe the club can reconsider their position on letting him go, to be honest.
If he comes in and uses this as a moment to lift his game, then sure. And I know he had the ankle injury last year, so perhaps there was some element to that. And who knows, he was out partying with Jared Hayne that time in Parramatta with his shirt off. Is there some indiscretion out there that maybe we haven't heard about just yet? I'm not sure. But I think, once again, we're touching on BA's bench rotation and his starting lineup. So I made a point earlier in the year that we have the horse, but we don't have the jockey. And I want to put it on the table here and now that we now refer to Brad Arthur as Homer Simpson. Right? Because
I haven't learned a thing.
It's the same shit over and over and over. Dude, this guy's Homer Simpson. He is.
Yeah, but Homer's cool. That's I like Homer. I can forgive Homer. I can't forgive Brad Arthur. No, I shouldn't even say that. He obviously doesn't know. Now, the guy's had 10 years. Let's look ahead for next year, because like I said, I can't see us winning the grand final this year if we do minor miracle. Let's look ahead for next year. We're back to rebuilding the team. And we're going to have Brad Arthur rebuilding the team. What? We're losing so many players. Why not get in a new coach and he can rebuild the team? There's no way that Brad Arthur is going to be there in 5 years' time if we're still losing, okay? Well, shouldn't be. In 5 years, it generally takes a coach 3 to 5 years to build their team where all the contracts are off and they've got their players in. 3 to 5 years, it's their team. Give someone else the reins next year, you know. And this is it for Brad Arthur. If he can't win with this team, and we've been saying it all year, if he can't win with this team, he's not winning it with next year's team.
Mm.
Exactly. You're absolutely right. I've heard rumours that assistant coach at Penrith, Cameron Serrato, might be in line for the job.
Yeah,
Parramatta's looking to make him an offer.
Yeah.
But I think you're right. I think I've also heard rumours that it's grand final or bust for Brad Arthur. If we don't make the grand final this year, he's getting tapped on the shoulder. Yeah. I'll believe it when I see it.
Well, we signed him for another 2.5 years. Like, I don't understand why we do that for.
Yeah. That's insane. Yeah. Cameron Serrato just got a $5 million offer from the Tigers and he turned it down.
Yeah, well, let's give him 6 because he's meant to be a gun from what everyone is saying. So he's a generation coach, apparently. So he's got all the new tricks of the trade under his belt, and he's also got the experience as well. So either way, Brad Arthur can't be rebuilding the team next year because he's not going to know how to. His bench rotation is horrible. Imagine him doing his bench rotations next year with, you know, new players and... Mm. Okay, you get 2 minutes and you get 2 minutes and Sean Lang can play for 120 minutes because, you know, he never gets tired apparently. So,
yeah.
it's hard to follow this team, I swear to God. I love it. I love the team. Always have, always will. But fuck, they're hard to follow.
But can I just qualify once again, and we've made this point before, is that everyone's frustration is exacerbated this year because this was our year. This is what the team's been building for. And at the start of the year, on paper, we had the team. We had the team. Even Phil Gould, who, as a Panther, he's openly said, you can't be a Penrith supporter and not hate Parramatta. So exactly. He hates Parramatta, but he said, and I personally think he's the reason why we're not doing well, is that he's put the mocker on us. And he said, this is the year for Parramatta. They're going to do it this year. And then sure enough, we just had injury. And then the rest of it has been on Brad Arthur and the team's shoulders for the poor performance that they've put forward.
But it just doesn't make sense how we beat the Panthers and Storm at their own home grounds.
Mm-hmm.
How do we turn up and absolutely flog the Roosters like they're a bloody reserve grade team? And then we just lose to the Tigers. We lose to the bullshit.
Motivation. Yeah. The one word answer is motivation. Yeah. You don't need motivation when it's Penrith and Melbourne, because that in itself is motivation enough. But when it's a cold, wet night at Acor Stadium and the opposition's making you run off the 10-meter line, yeah, I wouldn't want to be there either, to be honest. It looked fucking miserable. It looked fucking miserable. That stadium is fucking soulless. The conditions were crap. I wouldn't want to be there either. I agree. That's a shit show of a fucking position to be in, but you're paid to win games of football and to put your best foot forward. And this is your one and probably only chance to win the premiership, because we're going into a 5-year rebuild. You know, show us something, for fuck's sake.
I just don't know. It's just, it's the same shit over and over. And it's, and we have the team. We just don't have the coach. And now we don't have the team. You're saying that we're a racehorse with a shit jockey, and now we're a shit horse. Now we've got fucking broken legs or something. I don't know what's going on. Like every second week we're far lap, and you know, and then all of a sudden we're the horse that gets shot in the head at the end of the bloody Melbourne Cup. Like, you know, we literally go from one extreme to another on a consistent basis. You put money on it. That we're going to turn up and absolutely flog the Tigers this weekend. I'll put money on it. And I don't know, even know who we're playing the week after that, but I know we're going to lose. I mean, it just seems to be a joke at the moment.
Yeah, you
know,
win one, lose one.
Yeah, I'm kidding. How long has it been since Parramatta's played at Leichhardt Oval, actually? It's been a while, hasn't it?
Is that where we're playing them?
Yeah, it's Leichhardt Oval on Saturday night.
Okay, that's a bit scary.
Why?
The Tigers are going to turn up for that. Yeah.
They beat us at home last time, so they can beat us at home and they can beat us at their home. Is that what you're saying?
No, we're just going by the game on, game off theory. Like, it's supposed to be our game on, so we're supposed to turn up and absolutely flog whoever we're playing this weekend because we've been, you know, embarrassed, and you know, and so now they're going to turn up and play. But at Leichhardt, we might actually get outplayed at Leichhardt. Is Jackson Hastings playing? I don't, is he still running about, or is he out injured?
No, he had COVID.
I'm pretty sure he's out there.
Didn't he have COVID? Yeah.
I was about to say, the Tigers have played at Leichhardt Oval a bunch of times. They had two chances. Remember when Tommy Radonegas passed away? And it was supposed to be this big homecoming for the Tigers. They were wearing the Magpies strip.
Oh, it's horrible.
And they got absolutely belted by the Cowboys, rubbish Cowboys.
Yeah. That was so, you know. I actually felt sorry for him, that, you know, that big Tommy send-off, and that's, you know. And I remember, I can't remember who the commentator was. It might have been Blocker Roach. And he said, Tommy will be rolling in his grave from heaven. it was the worst commentating I've ever heard. It may not have been Blocker. He said, Tommy will be rolling in his grave from heaven. It was like the Reverend Lovejoy that's going back to Simpsons. I'll see you in hell.
From heaven. Yeah. Well, I did read in the news this week that Brett Kenny won his court case because apparently he headbutted some guy. And it was a bit of a love triangle. He was hooking up with this guy's ex-missus, and the guy confronted Kenny, and Kenny's headbutted him. So maybe that's the solution. On the off week, we get Brett Kenny to go into the locker rooms, headbutt a couple of the boys, fire him up a bit. Maybe that's the... But can I put forward something seriously, though? We need to get... And you see them at every Eels game. You see those guys, they're like in their 70s or their 80s, and they're wearing the faded Eels jersey and the lines on their face. You know, okay, granted they're old, but you know those lines came from following the Eels. Yeah. And we need to get those people organised to talk to the team beforehand, because BA, it seems, can't fucking motivate anyone. No. And we need them to get in there and just like, and break down in front of them of, I've been waiting 36 years for this. Come on, guys. We've got to do something. We need some emotion injected into this team, because money's not doing it, is it? There needs to be some pride there. Like, you talk about this cold weather up against, you know, the Bunnies. Well, I mean, the Storm wouldn't have that problem. Panthers wouldn't have that problem. They turn up week in, week out without fail. Why can't we do that? We need something that lights a fire under these guys.
And isn't that what a coach is supposed to do? Like, yeah, isn't that the job of the coach?
I haven't learned a thing.
Come on, we've covered that. Yes, it is, but he's got nothing. So what else can we do?
Well, Peter Sterling was floated when he retired from Channel 9 to be the coach of Parramatta. And not because, you know, he's a celebrity, a former Eels player, but to your point, Barry, if someone that's bled for the jersey and played for the jersey in the roughest period of rugby league, he won 4 premierships with the club, he at least knows what it's like to pull on a blue and gold jersey and play with pride and play with want and desire as a Parramatta Eel. And I think that was probably the biggest redeeming quality of the Peter Sterling idea.
Yeah, except for the fact that Sterling didn't want it.
Well, not yet. I mean, he's only just retired from TV, so give him a little bit of a breather. But if we're going to get Sterling in, I want Sterling to go in and be able to pick his own bloody team, because he's going to have an idea. Now, it is getting floated around that he is going to step up for it, but I don't know. He's going to go down as a Parramatta icon, one of the greatest Parramatta, probably the greatest Parramatta player of all time. Some people would debate. Brett Kenny's up there, obviously. But if Sterling could win us a premiership as coach from here, oh my God, can you imagine where that puts him in Parramatta folklore? I mean, it would just be the greatest thing. And he would have the support of all of the players, I'm sure, because he's got such a footy brain. And how good would it be to see Sterling's Parramatta team take on Phil Gould's bullshits in a couple of years? Oh my God, that would be the greatest thing ever.
Yeah, good.
But anyone, I just need a change. I really like BA, but I just need a change for next year, because if BA's coach next year, we sit it out, boys. We come back in 24 and just bloody, because we're saying the same shit every week. We're not really talking football. We're not talking about, you know, any of the great tries or the, you know, it's the same shit. It's just becoming repetitive. And it's the same with all of the fans. Like, everyone's saying the same thing. It's not just us three. Across the board, everyone is, it's either, oh my God, get rid of BA, we need a change, followed by a comment that says, oh, you're not a real fan, you should just support them blindly, followed by, get fucked, I am a real fan, I've followed the team for 50 years, I can say whatever the hell I want, followed by, I agree, get rid of Brett Arthur, followed by, you're not a real fan. So it just seems to be the same pattern over and over again.
I can assure you here and now, we won't be sitting out next year. We may be frustrated right now, but we tend to go on a bit of a tear from here, and I still think we'll come up short. We won't make the grand final, but I think we're probably in for a little bit of a run where we actually string a few wins together, which will be nice. So hopefully next week we can be talking about a win against the Tigers, and we can start to have some positive conversations. But again, as you pointed out though, Bernie, we're the podcast. We're not shying away from things. We're not going to sugarcoat things. We're going to talk about the problems, warts and alls, and that's what the Parramatta podcast is. So do, when you're on Facebook, make sure you join our Facebook page, The Parramattas, and give that a like. And obviously, Jono, big thank you to you, because you post a lot of stuff on there and you keep people informed as to what's happening. And don't forget, every week you can catch me on the Dummy M podcast with my mate T-Dog. In fact, we've got a great guest this week. We have none other than Australian actor from Mr. In Between, Mr. Matt Nabel. So make sure you check that out on Spotify and Apple Podcasts. But as we always say here at the Parramatta's podcast, click go the Eels.
Click go the Eels, baby.
Click go the Eels.
The Parramatta's podcast. Find us on Facebook.